2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 13. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send unto me everything that you can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came unto Jerusalem. You may be seated. We're looking looking at this greater section here. Actually, we begin our journey through chapter 15 through chapter 18, summarizing these sections by saying that in this larger section, first of all, that the historical writer deals first with Absalom's revolt against David in chapter number 15. Then in 2 Samuel 15, verse 13 through 16, all the way through chapter number 16, the scripture deals with how Absalom routs David from the city of Jerusalem. Then Absalom comes into the city in the 16th chapter, and he sets himself up as a king and tries to take over the kingdom of his father. And then eventually we know, as the story plays out, that Absalom reaps for his awful rebellion against God and against his father. That is something that grabbed my heart in these verses of scripture, and that is the amazing resource of true friends in adversity. In fact, the story that we just read and the verses that we just read remind us of what Christ said in John chapter 15. Listen carefully. He said in John 15, 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus talks to his disciples and said, he said, you're not only servants, but you're also friends. And that is the case in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and in a portion of the story that follows this particular chapter. Our Lord allows us to see David's resource of friends and servants in this time of adversity in his life. Now here's what the wise man said about friendship. He said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And so it's remarkable to me as I go through this section of the Bible to see the love and the loyalty that these friends and servants willingly gave to David. How they stayed by him in times of great adversity. I would say that it's very possible that David's heart was rent in two in a worse way during these days, because he's now once again a fugitive. He had been a fugitive because of the anger and the wrath of Saul. And yet now he's a fugitive because of the rebellion and of the sin of his own son. And I'd say his heart is probably rent in two. And yet we see the rise of wonderful, faithful servants that David had. We see the rise of friends and companions that come alongside of David in this time of adversity. Now, I want to say that every one of us need friends. But I want to say that God has so designed the Christian life so that you and I need godly friendships. We need those that love Christ, that care genuinely for us, and that will come alongside of us and comfort us. We need those that'll stay with us. Brothers that are born for adversity. We need those kind of friends. I really believe this as I study David's life. I do believe he was a great leader. I do believe he was what the Bible said, a man after God's own heart. But you cannot take away from the reality that David had some tremendously loyal and faithful followers. So that great leaders are defined by great followers. And so in this section of the Bible, we learn the reality of the truth that prosperity brings friends to us. But adversity has a way of proving their true loyalty in times of hardship. Now I want to give you four different types of friends and servants that are found here in 2 Samuel 15 and in some other chapters that follow this chapter. First of all, notice that there are willing servants in the first section that we read in 2 Samuel 15, especially in verse number 15. In verse 13, the Bible lets us know that a messenger came to warn David. Thank God for the faithful messengers that bring us the warning that Absalom is on the move. This nameless messenger came to David and said, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David knew that this was going to be a serious problem. I don't think he would got up all of his household servants. And then what we learn is probably his royal bodyguard, the soldiers that stayed so close to him, and all those. And if we study the scripture right, you'll find out that thousands of Israelites left the holy city and left this area and followed King David and went out into the wilderness during this time of exile. And yet the Bible said, David's servant said in verse 15, and the king's servant said unto the king, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Thank God for those that are ready. Amen. I wonder if we're ready. The Bible said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Did you know you and I need to be ready for the Savior's second coming? Did you know you and I need to be ready to share a credible witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? A testimony of God's saving power, that you and I are to be ready always in our hearts to give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Did you know you and I ought to be ready to present the gospel to those that are not saved? Did you know you and I ought to be ready and willing to go forward with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? But here's what these servants said. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Their love and loyalty are evidence in this time of adversity. A lot of people are ready. As long as everything's going their way, as long as the winds of adversity are not blowing, as long as the devil's crowd is not howling and growling, as long as popular opinion does not seem to blow against the trend that they're trying to walk in. Oh, but these servants said, David, we know it's going to be hard, and we know this is going to be a battle, but we want you to know, David, that we're ready to do whatsoever my lord the king doth appoint. Now listen carefully. These servants were those that were nearest to David daily. Most likely these are the household servants. These are those that live in the palace royal. These were those that saw David day by day. These were nearest to him and nearest to his family and nearest to his heart. And they offered David this powerful word. What? Soever, David. Listen, David, we don't have to put you off. We don't have to give a delay. We don't have a procrastinator's creed to offer you. And we don't have some alibi about why we can't stand up in this critical hour. Oh, no, David, we are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king doth appoint. Oh, how you and I need to be so willing, such a willing servant in this hour to do whatsoever our Lord, the King, doth appoint. Now listen carefully. Our Lord Jesus offered this whatsoever in the Gospel of John. In John 15, 14, here's what he said. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I wonder if we're just that willing. I remember when I first started out, I'd been saved. Hadn't been saved long. I surrendered to preach. I went to my pastor and I said, well, I wonder if you have a job for me. And I really didn't have a whole lot of things in my mind. I didn't know what he was going to say. I went to my pastor. I said, I wonder if you've got a job for me. He said, well, he said, the grass needs to be cut. Listen now, that word whatsoever still means whatsoever. And listen, friend, I thank God that those servants that are willing, those servants that are ready, those servants that are available can offer to their God the whatsoever. Whether it's cleaning a toilet, whether it's cutting grass, whether it's teaching a small class. I took a small class of junior age boys, 10, 11, and 12. And that was my first task. Oh, thank God, though, for the whatsoever of a willing servant, that one that is ready. Did you know you and I not to come to God and say, God, well, here's my resume. Here's all the qualifications of God. We're not to come to God and offer God our plans. And we're not to come to God and say, God, I'm willing to serve you, Lord. I'm just not willing to do this, Lord. Let somebody else do this. Let me stand up over here, but don't make me do this, Lord. Oh, we're not to try to obtain some high-ranking position at some place of admiration among others. Oh, but we're to put ourselves at the disposal of our King and say, Lord, whatsoever. Amen. In fact, the greatest servants in all of the history of the church have been those who have said, Lord, whatsoever. I remember even as a young man in Bible college watching young men, watching them trying to pull strings. And I remember watching some of them walk up to pastors that were there in the college. I'd be off at preachers' meetings, and I watched these young men. They never pastored before. And I remember watching them give a business card and say, hey, if you could use me in any way, would you give me a call? And I'm scratching my head thinking, my soul, here you are. You just barely got your feet wet. You just barely stepped out in this big field of God's service, and you're already trying to put yourself out there like you're some kind of celebrity. Oh, thank God for those who will say to the King, whatsoever, Lord, if it's sweeping the back bathroom, if it's cleaning toilets, if that's what it is, if it's laboring in the shadows, if it's being the second man, if it's just being a soul winner and knocking on doors and being a discipleship partner, God, that's what I'm willing to do, amen. And we're to say to our Lord, whatsoever, without reservation to our King. And yet there's so often those that offer their temporal love to the King and their temporary loyalty to the King until the first little bit of difficulty comes. How many of you realize that in a married relationship, that if you would quit like people quit church today, that if you would have quit in your married relationship, you probably wouldn't have been married 6 months. If you would have quit when the first adversity came, when the first disagreement came, when the first hurt feelings came, when the first rift in the unity of the home came, if you'd have quit then, friend, you'd have 14 wives or husbands right now. Oh, but you know our King is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of our loyalty. Thank God for these servants that say to their King whatsoever, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, God, I'm willing to do it. God, just line me up. I'm a willing servant. Hallelujah. So the first group are willing servants. The second group are loyal servants. Look in verse 21. And this is in the greater section. And Ittai answered the King and said, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And there's some loyal servants here. This one, Ittai, is a loyal servant. There's some mentioned in verse number 18. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the King. Now, the first ones I want to deal with in the order of the scripture here is what I call the royal guard. In verse number 18, I believe that the Cherethites and the Pelethites and the Gittites were in the first band that vacated Jerusalem along along with the household servants of David, the Cherethites and the Pelethites and the Gittites. I believe these were those that were part of what I could call the royal guard. These were the closest to the palace. These were David's royal bodyguard. If they ever had a time, if there was going to be a military coup, if there was going to be an uprising, this was the opportune time for it to take place. In fact, they did not rise up. They were not disloyal. They were readily transparent. At this time was a time for them to show their loyalty. And the Bible lets us know here that when they left Jerusalem, there were thousands of Israelites, not only these Cherethites, Pelethites, and Gittites. And the Gittites were those that were from Gath. And Ittai was one of those. But notice here the language concerning their loyalty in verse 18. And all his servants passed on beside him. And all, Adebalel, all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men. They passed on beside him. That is right there beside David. They had been there, no doubt, when the holy oil was poured on his head. They had been there when they set the crown royal on his head. They had been there when the victories had been won, when David had made excursions and expanded the boundaries of his kingdom. They had been there when celebrations had come and the victory march had come. And now they're still right here beside their king. In this time of adversity, even in exile, they walk hand in hand together on this journey, side by side with the king. Oh, thank God for the privilege, even if it is in hardship. The Bible said, therefore, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure hardness. Listen now, God has put us in the battle of the ages, and you and I are to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And these were going through hardship. They made no stipulations. They didn't say, David, can you guarantee our wages? David, can you guarantee that we'll have quarters when we get where we're going? David, can you make sure our military threads are renewed every so many years? No. They made no stipulation about their substance. They made no stipulation about their sustenance. They made no stipulations about their family or about their future. What did they know? They knew their king was about to take a trip and he was about to leave out as an exile from Jerusalem. And they knew wherever the king was, that's where they wanted to be. Oh, bless his holy name tonight. Our great king has given us orders. You and I don't have any reason to lay down on our great king. Our great king has left us this advice. In John 12 and verse 23, if any man serve me, let him follow me. You don't have to make up what you've got to do. You don't have to make excuses about why you're not going to follow him. Any reasonable Christian that's got a head on their shoulders and a Bible in front of them, they know that the only reason why we're not following him is because we got some lame excuse or the devil has detoured us somehow. But if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Thank God for the royal guard. The Cherethites, the Pelethites, the Gittites. And among them, that royal guard, there's one that David speaks to individually in verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, a Gittite is a person from Gath. Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, indicating that he had not been with David that long. Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. Ittai was a royal general. In fact, David speaks to him as one who is a Gittite, one from Gath. You remember in chapter 8, when David began to make excursions in enemy territory, that he first had victory over the Philistines. During David's reign is the only time that Israel was delivered from Philistine oppression for a lengthy season of time. It was not until David got to the throne that they were delivered from Philistine oppression. We don't know exactly when Ittai and the 600 other soldiers came into David's army. We don't know at what time they switched from the Philistine army and came over and joined up with David. It could have been when David ventured into that Philistine territory that he won the hearts of these valiant warriors. We don't really know. Apparently this man Ittai came as a stranger. He's also an exile. And David said, "You've not really been here that long. You should not be required to go. In fact, if you desire to do so, you can go back and serve under the new king." And yet Ittai makes a pledge of allegiance in verse 21. A spirit-led pledge of allegiance. Verse 21, "As the Lord liveth." That's a big statement. You see, Ittai had lived in Philistia where they worshiped the false god Dagon. But you know, there was a time when the ark went down there. And when the ark got down there, the Philistines learned that Dagon was subject to the Lord God of Israel. Ittai now makes this pledge of allegiance, and it's one of the most honorable in Scripture. First of all, it's holy. Why? He said, "As the Lord liveth." Now, he's not talking about heathen gods. He's talking about the God of Israel. And he believes that David's God, Jehovah God, is the living God. That's the number one reason why he's not going back to Jerusalem. He doesn't want to serve under a rebel. He don't want to serve under a man whose heart is set against God. He wants to serve under a man whose heart is turned to God, who worships the living God like he worships the living God. "As the Lord liveth," he said, "now your God, David, is a living God, and he's my God." Yeah. Apparently, he held no allegiance to the Philistine God, but now worship the true and the living God. Secondly, not only was it holy, it also was humble. "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." What a searching trial of faith in Ittai's life. He said, "David, first of all, I'm here not just because of you, but I'm here because the Lord is a living God. None of that, David, I'm here because I want you to know that whatever it takes, David, that's exactly what we're going to do. Life or death. If it meant hardship, if it meant difficulty, if it meant that we have to lay down our lives, we're not going back, we're not following Absalom, we're not following that bunch of rebels. And we find out about Ittai that when they get to Mahanaim, where that battle's going to occur between Absalom's forces and the forces of David in chapter number 18, that David divides the forces up to three generals, and one of those is this man, Ittai. David takes his army and divides it up to three different generals, valiant men, and Ittai leads those soldiers into that battle. And by the way, Absalom lost in a very horrendous way. Ittai had an equal rank with Joab and Abishai, which were the other two generals. Now, this pledge of allegiance was holy, but it was also humble, because Ittai basically said, "I'm going to be with you regardless of whatever happens. I'm just going to tell you right now, life or death, good or bad, hardship or easy ways, I'm going to be here." Boy, that's really helpful, is it not? How feeble, though, and how fickle, and how failing is the allegiance of some today. Oftentimes, the least resistance comes. You know, in the course of church life, the devil's going to do all he can to try to separate you from the church and its ministry Now, I honestly believe there'd never be a church good enough for some people, never be a preacher good enough for some. But I want to tell you this, oftentimes we see in this hour how feeble and fickle and failing is the allegiance of some who in one disagreement, one hardship, one division, one upset, they're ready to cash in and quit God entirely and turn back and go to the world. I want to say tonight, friend, Jesus is worth a whole lot more than that. Our Lord and Savior left heaven's glory, came down this world, was despised and rejected of men. He was treated far worse than any of us have ever been treated, but he kept on going. He didn't stop. He went all the way up the Calvary Road. And he stayed on the cross until the work was done. So we see tonight here in this passage of Scripture, willing servants and loyal servants. And then we see in this chapter, submissive servants. 2 Samuel 15:24. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant. They set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up till all the people had done passing out of the city. So here are thousands of Israelites. And David looks up, and there's Zadok, and there's the Levites carrying the ark on their shoulders like they're supposed to. And Zadok and the Levites and Abiathar, and these come out because they're bearing the burdens. These are the spiritual ones. These handle the holy things of God. These minister at the holy things of God in the holy place of God. These are the spiritual leaders of Israel. Now listen carefully. David gave them some instructions, and those instructions probably were very difficult to carry out. In fact, if I could summarize tonight, he basically tells them, take the ark and go back to Jerusalem. And honestly, I'm sure that in their hearts, they didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. Carry back the ark of God into the city. While their hearts were with the king, their hearts were with David. The ark of God had no place among rebels and renegades. And yet David's instructions were given in submission to God's hand upon his life. Here's what he said. Carry back the ark of God into the city. Verse 25. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. David said, now carry it back. If God is pleased, I'll go back and I'll see these holy things again. I'll go visit his holy habitation again. If God has mercy on me. His declaration is one of faith. Who knows, according to verse 26, that God holds his very future. Look in verse 26. If he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. You know what David's saying? Basically, my life's in God's hands. It's up to him whether I return to the holy city. My life is in his hands. I understand by faith where my future is held. It is held firmly in the hands of God. So the priests and their families were to form a league with Ahushai the Archite. They were to go back, and at times when Hushai, who became a double agent in the palace, was to find out anything, then they were to bring the information to David from the priest's sons, the messengers that would bring these things to David. So they followed the king's commands. I know sometimes God tells us to do things that are unpleasant. And some of us may not admit it, but sometimes he tells us to do things that we really don't want to do. And yet we actually should do it because they're orders from the king. So they're not only willing servants and loyal servants and submissive servants, but they're also helpful servants. Hushai the Archite. In verse 32 in this chapter, Hushai comes to meet David. Just after David crested the hill on the Mount of Olivet, Hushai appears. Now, he does not look as if he's a happy man. In fact, he has his coat rent and he has earth on his head. Hushai is not happy with what is happening in Jerusalem because he's loyal to David. He's called in the Bible an Archite because he's a native of the place called Archi, west of Bethel on the northern border of Benjamin. In 1 Chronicles 27:33, he's called the king's companion. That is because he is one, if not the, closest counselor that David ever had. At one time, Ahithophel was in that circle, but he no longer is, and we know why. Hushai is deemed in two passages to be called David's friend. He left Jerusalem around the same time that all the exiles are leaving. I know this is hard for us to imagine, but there are thousands of people. There's David, there's his household servants, there's a royal bodyguard, now priests, Levites, the ark, and here comes Hushai, one that is in the royal cabinet, and he exhibits all the signs of mourning. There's no doubt whose side Hushai is on. I like the fact that there's no doubt whose side Hushai is on. You know what I never cared for? I was just a young preacher. I never cared for anybody who was always on the fence. Never. I never cared for anybody who was always on the fence. Always disgruntled, always bellyaching, always complaining, because I knew if any trouble ever broke out, they'd be just like Absalom. They'd sign up with the rebellion, and there'd be trouble right off the bat. And so I made up my mind, anybody that come by me making their comments, I'd say, hey, put your lid on your garbage can, leave me alone. So Hushai was troubled and sorrowful about the turmoil in the city. He came out because he wanted to let David know whose side he was really on. And David said, now, Hushai, you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to go back because I'm going to need you. And actually, if you read the following chapters, you'll find out that when Absalom sought counsel, he asked first Ahithophel to give advice. And here's what Ahithophel said. He said, I've been wanting to kill him. I want to kill David. I want to kill him. Give me 12,000 men and we'll pursue him into the wilderness. We won't harm any of the other Israelites. I'll kill him myself and I'll bring all the other Israelites back and everything will be just fine. And yet Hushai said to Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel is not good at this time. And Hushai bought David some extra time so they could get farther away from the city of Jerusalem and not be attacked quickly. So the first helpful servant is Hushai. I really believe that he was so crucial in this whole opposition to Absalom's rebellion. And then there's a few more. Could I give them to you quickly and I'll be finished. 2 Samuel 17 and verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, of Rogelium, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels, and wheat and barley and flour, and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Here's three men that had compassion and consideration for David's situation. Here's what they did. They went out there where David was. Regardless what people say, long distance is not the next best thing to be in there. There's times being there is where you have to be. They went out there into the wilderness and they said, you know what? I guarantee you that multitude is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. They considered where they were. You know, sometimes the Lord lets us go through wilderness experiences. And we need some friends like these men. They not only knew where they were, they showed up at a very opportune time. Now, you may not realize this, but these men are getting ready to go into battle with Absalom's rebels. Chapter 18 is the battle at Mahanaim, where David's forces fight the forces of Absalom, and great slaughter took place that day. So they provided all these provisions just before a major battle. And I'm thankful they knew when to bring these provisions, that is before the battle. And then they provided food and refreshment for them. They not only knew where, they knew when, and they knew how to be a blessing. They brought beds. They brought things that could be eaten. They brought vessels. They brought vessels to eat out of. They brought vessels to cook in. They brought vessels to drink out of. They brought food. They brought things that could be eaten. Wheat, barley, flour, beans, lentils, sheep, and cheese. They brought things that could be drank, like honey and butter and cream that was often mixed up so it could be used as a refreshing drink. And let me say it like this. They provided rest for the weary. They provided food for the hungry. They provided drink for the thirsty. This is what these men brought to those in the wilderness. Not only did they bring provision, but they brought themselves and partnered with David. Thank God for these. There's sometimes one blessing in the wilderness can carry you through to the next battle. There's sometimes one blessing in the wilderness can carry you through to the next battle. I remember many years ago, I hadn't been saved too awfully long. And I'd had one of those weeks that's really been really difficult. I didn't have a whole lot of ammunition to fight the devil. I was just learning the scriptures at the time. Been a really tough week. As was my custom that morning, I left the house real early. I planned to be at the church an hour before anybody else ever arrived. And I mean from the time that I turned the key on my car and got out in the road, I started weeping and crying before God. I started crying out. My heart was so heavy over all the burdens I'd been through that week and all the opposition I'd faced. I was just a young Christian. I got to church and I had a good season of prayer that morning. I prayed a good while and God helped me to lay aside some burdens and get some things at the foot of the cross and get with him and cast some burdens on him. And I remember as I came around one section of the church there, a saint of God looked at me and they said this. They said, "You know what, Brother Tommy?" He said, "I sure am glad you got saved." And you know what? Boy, it hit my heart like, I mean, boy, I really needed to hear that. I said, "You know what? I'm glad I got saved too." And there's sometimes in the wilderness a good word can go a long way. Let's stand together with our heads bowed.